Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 11 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I had something rather exciting happen to me Saturday morning, a fun little epiphany that was an instant game changer in my life as a witch. It's probably not a big thing, not by the usual standards, but it felt big to me at the time and like this long-awaited aha moment. I like to think of it as a stroke of spirit-led insight. And I like to think of this show now as like a spirit-led show because everything that I planned to talk about has kind of just like flown out the window, and I'm kind of just going by the seat of my pants now and talking about whatever interests me in the moment. And this is what's interesting me right now. But don't laugh at me when I tell you what happened, especially if you feel that I am stating the obvious here. Because now that I've done some research online about my big epiphany, I can see that I will be, at least for some of you, stating the obvious. And it involves one of the crystal balls Billy got me on our most recent trip to Big Sur. Billy went a little overboard on this trip and actually got me all kinds of crystals. He got me a large rose quartz skull and three pretty good-sized crystal balls, an amethyst, a lapis lazuli, which is my favorite new piece of my all-time favorite stone. I am absolutely crazy about lapis lazuli. I think it looks like the starry night sky. It's just gorgeous, and this piece in particular is so beautiful. And then he got me a fairly large quartz crystal sphere that immediately lends itself to thoughts of crystal ball gazing, which you might also know as scrying. You can't look at this ball without thinking about scrying, or at least I can't. And for those of you who don't know what scrying is, it's a form of divination, like casting runes or reading tarot cards, which is my personal specialty. But with scrying, you're basically gazing into an object and waiting for an image to appear. And that object could be anything from an active flame to a body of water, a black mirror to a cloudy sky, and most famously, a crystal ball. And for most of my life, when I thought of crystal ball gazing, I thought of The Wizard of Oz and that first scene with Professor Marvel when Dorothy's trying to run away from home and he makes her close her eyes so that he can rummage through her basket for items that will help him pull the wool over her eyes. You know, and he sees a picture of her Aunt Em, and he, like, concocts this whole story around it, which basically reinforced that this stuff is just a bunch of hocus-pocus and a trick that scam artists use to separate willing fools like Dorothy from their money, even though I don't think she paid him in the movie. I think he was actually helping her, but nonetheless, either that or it's evil, which was later illustrated in the scenes with the Wicked Witch of the West, complete with green skin and huge hooked nose. She genuinely used the ball to accurate and powerful effect. Remember that scene with the field of poppies? Poppies will put them to sleep. Interestingly, Dorothy could see into that crystal ball as well, so maybe Dorothy was a witch. Didn't the Munchkins ask Dorothy what kind of witch she is? Or no, Glinda asks her if she's a good witch or a bad witch, I think. Anyway, going off on a tangent there, I bring this up for a couple of reasons. First, because of that image of divination being something wicked and evil, which I'll talk about later, and that sadly gets reinforced by some of the very people who promote its use, and that just chaps my hide. And secondly, because of all the witchy things I've come across on my witchy adventures, crystal ball gazing is one that I remained skeptical about for a very long time. I guess I didn't want to be played for a sucker. That and nothing that I had read in my Witchcraft 101 books seemed too convincing. And when I tried the suggested exercises in earnest, nothing happened. And then I felt like an even bigger fool for trying. You know, I followed, you know, the instructions step by step. I would, you know, light a candle and then shut all the other lights out in the room and very, you know, genuinely ask my question and get into a meditative state and gaze into the crystal ball. And I think I was like gazing so hard that I was like going to burst a blood vessel behind my eye or something. It would get all, my eyes would start watering because I couldn't decide if I was supposed to blink or not blink. And it turned into this whole frustrating thing. And I would just go back to reading my tarot cards, which I love. So I grew my crystal ball collection mostly for aesthetic reasons. And up until this big Sur trip, I only had tiny little crystal balls, little like marble sized crystal balls, and then a whole bunch of other crystal shapes. I had a quartz crystal, I don't know what you would call it, just like a rough chunk that I tried to scry in quite a few times because it's got a lot of interesting little, I don't know, inclusions and flaws in it that I thought might lend itself well to that, but to no avail. So whatever, I grew my collection mostly for aesthetic reasons, although I do believe crystals have their own special energy, as everything does. Which I'm not going to get too into this time because I just want to talk about scrying. Silver Ravenwolf's infamous book, Solitary Witch, describes the process of scrying much in the same way that it is depicted in The Wizard of Oz, funny enough, with the crystal ball, which is actually a glass bottle in this case, first clouding over in a mysterious mist, then revealing a movie-like scene once the mystical clouds part. And this seems so far-fetched to me, but when I did some research online, I discovered that many people claim to see this mysterious mist, which is actually called clouding, and then a moving picture. So I gave it a try myself several times. You know, she was the first person that really got me trying to do this. I love to flip through that book. It's a fun book, like a big encyclopedia, Solitary Witchcraft. And this was just one of the things I pulled out and tried, but nothing really happened. And I did try in all sincerity, but and I'm not immune to the idea that it could have been that skepticism lurking in the back of my mind that dictated my results. And later, Lori Cabot, who I actually take more seriously, I love the work of Lori Cabot, which I only just discovered this year. I knew who she was, but I only started reading her books this year. In her book, Power of the Witch, she also briefly describes the scrying experience, albeit with less theatrics. She says, while in a slightly altered state of consciousness, the scryer watches for a sign or movement in the stone or water or flames that are being used. Eventually, some movement occurs. The scrying objects respond with an omen or sign. Some movement occurs. That damn movement. I was not seeing any movement in my crystal ball. And I'm wondering if any of you are actually geeky enough to have read the young adult series called Sweep. Because I did. And I feel like a total geek admitting that. Not only did I read all 5 books in the series, but I also really enjoyed them. Like, really, really. I blame Twilight for breaking the seal on my young adult reading adventures, but they have a lot of, like, fantasy stuff that's hard to find in the adult section without getting into all this, like, heavy, you know, these heavy sexcapades, which I don't really care that much about. I didn't read 50 Shades of Grey. I'm not really into that. And I'm not really into, like, extreme violence either, so it's tricky finding good witchy fiction to read. And really, the Sweet books are just for teenagers, I think, as most of the characters are teenagers. But it does feature a whole lot of magic. And the lead character is a witch whose main witchy superpower is scrying. Only she uses fire. And that, again, those books reinforce this idea of a moving picture. As did Lois Bourne's book, A Witch Among Us, which is supposedly her autobiography and is fairly convincing. I read that book also earlier this year, and I absolutely adored it. I fell madly in love with Lois Bourne, who I do not think is on the planet anymore. But she talks about scrying with a crystal ball, which she would hold in the palm of her hand when she read for clients. And sometimes she'd even hand off her crystal ball to the clients for them to look into, and they would both see the same thing, these clear pictures that the crystal ball supposedly conjured up. And in her following book, Conversation with a Witch, a book which basically answers all of her fans' questions about what she talked about in the first book, she goes into more detail about how scrying works, again with the whole bit about the clouding, which I actually found kind of annoying because I really like Lois Bourne and want to believe everything she says, but this whole clouding over and moving picture business was really just making me feel left out. Like, are other people really seeing this? Or are they all just, like, collectively lying and perpetuating this myth to make themselves feel cool? Like, what is going on here? So flash forward to me coming home from my Big Sur anniversary trip with my new crystal ball collection and having all things crystal ball on my mind. I lovingly put them in this cool lamp-lit configuration in the center of the house so I could see them all day long, and then proceeded to pass by them 40 million times a day. And my husband really loves and is amazed by them too, as is my son. If you know anything about my son, he is obsessed with balls. So we all like them. They're just so pretty. But I couldn't help wondering if they couldn't be more than that and beyond whatever energy that they emit. Then this weekend, I was in the shower. I had just written my most recent newsletter, which I happen to think is awesome, if I do say so myself, because in it, I gave away this fun Midsummer Night's Dream fairy meditation. Anyway, I was washing my hair in the shower and thinking about how happy I was about this meditation, which actually came to me in a dream, and wondering if my readers would actually get it or if they would actually try the meditation, when I looked down and saw a fairy looking up at me. No, don't get too excited. It wasn't an actual fairy. But it was clear as day, an image of a fairy that had spontaneously emerged from the patterns in the tile. And this is something that's been happening to me my entire life since I can remember. And the bathroom is, for whatever reason, a major breeding ground for these kind of images that just, like, pop out at me like, hello, here I am. And when I was a little girl, and this is just too fitting for what I have become, I clearly saw a witch in profile, actually many witches in profile, again with the cliched pointy hat and crooked nose, and the patterns of the cabinet's wood grain in the bathroom. And something about this gave me such a thrill. It felt like a little secret meant just for me. I mentioned something about this in one of my early YouTube videos, and I can't remember which one now, but a commenter actually told me that there's a name for this phenomenon, and it's called pareidolia. And apparently it's something that's not just for me. It's something that many, many, many people experience. And in the shower that morning, staring at my little fairy visitor, it suddenly occurred to me that I had been approaching this crystal ball gazing business all wrong. I wasn't approaching it from my perspective, using my special gifts. And then, of course, I couldn't get out of the shower fast enough and made a beeline for my quartz crystal ball. I then proceeded to experiment all weekend with the technique Lois Bourne outlines in her book of holding the ball in the palm of your hand, you know, gazing into the center with a relaxed, almost unfocused gaze. And sure enough, an image came to the fore, a clear image that was absolutely relevant to the question at hand. And this happened again and again. And regardless of, you know, any old school scrying practitioners, regardless if they want to dismiss my pareidolia approach, it works for me. And that, my friends, is always good enough for me. So they can suck it. if they think I'm supposed to be seeing clouds and a moving movie picture, this is just the way my brain works. And I was really excited that this was actually working for me. And who knows, maybe if I did it enough over the years, maybe eventually I would start seeing, you know, dreamlike kind of moving pictures. I have no idea. Typically, my psychic gifts are I have a sense of knowing. I will just know something, or I will have a prophetic dream. I don't know if you want to consider pareidolia a psychic gift, but pareidolia is defined as seeing images in everyday objects. And some people actually consider this to be a mental disorder, which is nuts because from what I understand, pretty much everyone does it to some degree at one time or another in their life. I mean, did you ever gaze up at the sky as a kid to see pictures in the clouds or the man in the moon? Then you, I'm afraid, are afflicted with this terrible disorder. And they probably have a pill for that. It might also just be innately human. We seek out patterns in seeming chaos. That's what we do when we make music or try to make sense of the seemingly random events of our lives. And many artists have taken advantage of this phenomenon. The art of Georgia O'Keeffe was actually controversial for this very reason because, and I don't know if she did this intentionally or not. I have not read her biography. Is there a biography? Because that would be a really good read. And I'm always open to another good read. But in her art, people saw genitalia in her simple but accurate depictions of flowers, which in real life not only resemble genitalia, they are genitalia. I did a Google search and one of the on the word pareidolia, and one of the first pages that came up, the first one that I clicked on anyway, was for a forum post at a site called dailystrength.org. And the post was titled Seeing Images in Everyday Objects. And I actually cut and pasted it onto my computer so I could read this to you. Hold on. Okay, I think this is why, I don't know why I feel like this is a girl. Man or woman, let's see. I see people's faces in everyday objects. Now, I am not talking vague pictures, but detailed images with facial lines and expressions. Sometimes they even take me by surprise because it is so vivid and clear, and it's not like I'm looking for a picture. I just see it right there. It may be a piece of fabric or a tile or carpet or something on a window or a wall or anything like that. I have seen an old Native American warrior, and he had a headdress on. He had defined nose and cheekbones. I saw a woman like she was from the 1940s. She wore a hat, and she was curvaceous. I have seen old men, women, all kinds of people over the years. Does it mean anything? Do any of you have this? Does this thing I have actually have a name? I wish I could actually sketch the people I see. I can draw, but I am crap at drawing people, and I have never tried taking a photo because I don't think it would capture what I actually see to anyone else. I don't think they will see it. And then a commenter on that post wrote, "Me too, actually. Ever since I was little, I could see faces, shapes, or figures in carpet, bathroom tiles, wood grains, etc. They, too, just pop out at me at first glance. I've always thought it was just me. It's cool to know that it's not my eyes playing tricks on me." I chose to read, you know, these comments and posts to you because, A, they are so right on with what I have been experiencing my entire life that I could have written them myself, and, B, it's nice to know that I'm not alone having experienced this phenomenon on a regular basis. I was also intrigued by one other follow-up comment she posted. Couldn't it be like some kind of Rorschach test? Instead of looking at ink blots, you look at everyday items or common ordinary things and see faces or animals or whatnot. Couldn't it be the subconscious seeing what it wants to see or picking up on something that no one really pays attention to? And if she had asked me that question, I would say yes. Because that's what I think so much of magic is, so much of divination is. It's about, for me, I know some people think that they're talking to spirits or accessing the Akashic record, but when I use my tarot cards, which is my primary, you know, I just started reading crystal balls a few days ago, so I can really only speak about reading tarot cards, but for me, that's about accessing the subconscious mind, and it could be about accessing the collective conscious, as Carl Jung talks about. I absolutely believe in that. I do talk to my spirit guides, but again, I'm not 100% sure that those are not just an aspect of myself. And then when I consider that we are all part of the divine, it gets very, like, busy up in my mind. So I just like to think that I'm accessing my subconscious. My subconscious mind, and that is what you're doing when you are divining or practicing divination. So I don't really see how it could be evil. Another interesting thing I found when I did a bit of research online, and I'm sorry, I forgot to note the source, although I did manage to cut and paste the quote here. Most psychologists believe that the images stem from the unconscious mind of the scryer, or simply represent the active tendency of the brain to create meaningful perceptions, especially of faces and human figures, from random stimuli, a phenomenon known as pareidolia. See, now, to me, just the way that that's language, this implies that some psychologists are almost dismissing scrying because the information comes from the unconscious mind. But I think that that's precisely why it's useful. And I kind of want to backtrack to this whole thing about them being evil, because I don't really understand. I don't understand why. I understand why religious people might put that on anything that has to do with witchcraft, because they find it threatening, they think you're talking to the devil or whatever. But I came across someone saying that a person can become trapped inside a crystal ball, or that their souls can become fragmented because the crystal ball has been programmed by some curse to do so, and that when we practice magic, we are vulnerable to attack. And this just irritates me to no end. And if I accomplish nothing else with this show, I would love to take the piss out of these fear tactics. When witches or people in the occult make these claims, I always think, A, they're trying to make a buck and saying, like, you know, you need to hire me, you need my services, you need me to teach you how to protect yourself, or B, without even knowing it, they're just fueling these religious warnings that these things are evil, which is probably, you know, where these ideas originally came from. And, you know, someone may have even been well-meaning in saying that you could become trapped inside a crystal ball. Maybe the first person saying that might have been saying, you know, allegorically, like, don't become obsessed with divination. Don't, you know, get all OCD about it to where you have to consult your crystal ball before you do anything in your life. Maybe it was just that. And maybe the church just, like, ran with it, like, yes, yes, this stuff is evil. And then, like, well-meaning, like, witchy people later on down the road, like, read that in some book and then just took it to heart. But I genuinely don't think that these things are evil. I genuinely don't think that anything bad is going to happen to you if you practice divination. And, but you know, that is probably why I felt so racy when I got my first pack of tarot cards. I had wanted them for a long, 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 long time. But I, you know, I thought maybe that stuff was of the devil when I was younger. And then I think that just, like, lingered in the back of my mind till I was like, finally just like, fuck it. And I got my first pack, and come to find out, it's not evil at all. It's basically like, just like talking to yourself. And so I don't really have a clever way to wrap this all up, except for to say I found my very own way that scrying works for me, and to read the divinations that come from a crystal ball. And of course, you have to have a basic understanding of symbolism to use pareidolia when you are crystal ball gazing or doing any kind of scrying. If you're going to do it this way, it's going to be like reading tarot cards, or it's going to be like casting runes. You need to have a basic understanding of symbolism. And I don't mean you need to memorize someone else's definition of what these various symbols mean, although I do think the collective conscious, we all have like similar associations to things, you know, maybe like a crown. But, you know, it helps to have your own, to be in touch with your own sense of symbolism and what the different images mean to you. You know, if you've divined the image of a crow or a demon or an elderly Native American woman, that's just the beginning. So fine, you've seen an image of a crow. It's then up to you to interpret via your feelings and understanding of symbolism what that picture means. And that's where having the ability to get out of your own way, out of your head and into your heart space can come in handy. And that's just going back to, I guess, witchcraft 101 or any kind of spirituality 101. And there are many ways to do that. Meditation being first and foremost. In fact, I would recommend that anyone practicing any kind of divination develop a solid meditation practice first. But then I think everyone should have a solid meditation practice, certainly anyone interested in the law of attraction or magic. But as it applies to scrying, you need to be able to get yourself into an altered state and to shut off your monkey mind so that you can relax your mind and get into that almost dreamlike state. Some people call it an alpha state, but it's actually more drawing on those theta and delta waves of your brain to really get into almost like a trance while you're staring at the crystal ball or the flames that you're looking at. And this wasn't meant to be crystal ball gazing 101. I just wanted to tell you about my personal experience and that I'm excited about this. And I'd love to hear from you. Is pareidolia something that you have experienced? Do you actually see clouding when you gaze at a crystal ball? Have you ever tried to gaze at a crystal ball? Tell me, hop on over to Facebook, I guess, and let me know. I am dying to know what you guys think, because this is something that I've kind of just like struggled around on my own, in my own little witchy corner of the house here. And I'd be really curious to know what kind of experiences you've had. And that's it for today's show. I will be back next Tuesday at 9 a.m. I hope you have a beautiful day. Much love. Peace.